just like 99.9% of the rest of us do, why couldn't you just say, all right, this is done, next?
Well, I think I eventually did. And I think, you know, maybe it took me longer to get to that point than people think. You know, but I think you have to stand in somebody else's shoes. And, you know, I was in the situation that I was in. I thought I knew him the way that I did. And I also believed in my vows. I believed in my pledge. And I truly believed that this was not going to be in the long run. This was not going to be good for the kids. So, you know, I thought, I need to hold out as long as possible because I don't think this is going to be good for them. I sort of knew that intuitively. And I also, you know, when you start seeing what happens when a family breaks apart and you start seeing what's going on with the children and what takes place with regard to visitation, you start seeing, you know, one house has this rules and the other house has the other. You know, you're just really not, you're not presenting a unified front as parents for the children anymore. So that's what I started to see. I started to talk to other people who said, yeah, that's the way it is. And then a few years into it, I started doing some reading and I said, holy cow, everything that I'm thinking about this is true. It's been researched and it's true. It's not good for the kids. So that was definitely a very big part of it as well.
But here's the funny thing is, I think we all know that, but we accept it. The thing that makes you different is that, like, your story is not that unique, except for you went in a different angle with it. So that we all go, yeah, this is rough for the kids, but you'd make the best out of it. Like, somehow we've accepted something that you've refused to, you know, like when I listen to your story, I have to stop myself by going, you know, wait, this isn't unique. You know, everybody ends up on some variation of this. You just react to it differently.
Well, I think that you have to go back. There's a very deep root, I believe, to all of this. And I think that the health of our entire society is a reflection of the health of our commitments, our families, our marriage. Okay? And I think that a lot of the problems that we see in our society are an outgrowth of the fact that our marriages and our families are not very healthy.
Now, I think we'd all agree to that. And for some reason, I think even worse, we live with some kind of TV idea of the way marriage and society is supposed to be rather than the real reality. I don't even think we sit down and face what's really going on with the rest of us.
No, I think you're right. And I think I think it's a reflection of our belief in our individual rights and our individual freedoms. And we're basically all holding on to this powerful person inside that we call me or I. Okay. And when you do that, everything that you do and everything that happens in your life is an outgrowth of that.
Right.
When you let go of that and you put yourself over into the other person's shoes. I mean, some people said to me, oh, you do something for the sake of the children. And I think to myself, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you do something for the sake of the children? Why wouldn't you put, as a parent, why wouldn't you put your personal happiness? And again, I use that very loosely because I think that is a big problem, how we define happiness in our culture, how we define love, how we define commitment. Why wouldn't you put that second, if you know that it's going to be in the best interest of your children, to stay together and try and ride things out? Because the statistics also show that most couples who are willing to ride things out, they're going to be okay and they're going to come out okay on the other end. We live in a society that we're very impatient. We need a quick fix because things don't feel good. They're too painful. They're too hard. So we need a quick fix. No fault is a quick fix because we think the grass is going to be greener somewhere else. And if we have more patience, we will find out that in a lot of cases, not in all cases, but in a lot of cases, we're going to ride through that storm because we do that anyway. And that is what happens in most marriages where they continue to go through the problems. So I think we need to take a look in our culture also about difficulty. The value that we place on hardship, on pain, on difficulty. Because if we look at all the people in our society that we think of as heroes, they've come through some sort of very difficult experience.
Mm-hmm.
And having come through that difficult experience, they have transformed their life. They have learned valuable things. They've become stronger people. And we look up to them. And we all do. And then I think when it comes to us, we say, oh, I'm either, you know, I'm not strong enough to do that. I'm not like that person. Or it's our own personal needs just take over. And yeah. We're not willing to see it through. But if we are, it's a rewarding experience.
So what do you do about the person who's married to an alcoholic, an addict, somebody who hits them, somebody that won't be them? And it's at some point, you do agree that some people should be divorced.
Absolutely. And I said that in my article, and I've said that in another program I was on. Absolutely. I mean, in a situation where you're in an abusive relationship, it is not good for the children. It's not good for you, and it's not good for the children. And there ought to be an out for that. And there's always been an out for that. Even in states, in New York, which had a fault-based system of divorce, and prior to enactment of no fault in other states, that was an option. So I agree with you, absolutely.
And when you say putting yourself in the other person's shoes, did you ever look over at him and think, he wants out of this so bad, he doesn't want to be with me, can I grant him this thing that he feels like he needs, even if I disagree with him?
Well, that's a very it's a very interesting point. Because I think what you raise is really the issue of compassion. Do mm-hmm. I put myself in another person's place, and do I have compassion for him, for his needs? But I think that's a misconception in our society on how we define compassion, because I think compassion sometimes isn't just letting another person who doesn't really have, who's going off doing something on the spur of the moment, willing mm-hmm. to throw everybody's lives away and wreak havoc on everybody's lives, saying, okay, I'll let them do that. That's not a compassionate thing to do necessarily. So compassion can be like tough love. I don't know how mm-hmm. else to describe it. You know, but now I wish him well. You know, it's over and whatever. And I do wish him well.
At a certain point, you say in your article, even when he couldn't get the divorce in New York, he moved to Jersey to try to, I mean, he was going to these huge lengths, life-changing lengths all around, just to add this, end this with you. How many years altogether before the divorce finally came through?
It was longer than 5 years, because then after that we mm-hmm. had, we agreed on the divorce, and then we had to iron out the financial issues, mm-hmm. which were considerable. So it was a few more years after that. I mean, that, and then the papers have to be filed and the judge has to write a decision. So, I mean, that all takes time, you know. Mm.
So where do you go now? You say you're basically, I guess, other women and men.
And
are
men,
even,
absolutely.
Are looking to you now for advice. And, you know, I don't know why sometimes I only saw from the male point of view, but I do have friends who, after their wife left them, they just, no, I'm done. They just kind of gave up on life in some ways in terms of, you know, redating or whatever. Most of the time they fell back into the bottle. If I'm being 100% honest, it gave them a good reason. Just, I am going to quit. But, I have seen people that did not take this lightly, but at the same time didn't do what you did, didn't fight, didn't try to keep it together. So what do you say to people now?
Which people?
The people that are coming to you saying, I've been through this, or I'm going through it now. While we're having this conversation, there's probably, you know, someone just found out that they're getting divorced all over the country. There's probably been different people. So what do you say to folks that are going through this?
Well, I mean, at this point, no fault is the law of the land everywhere. Mm-hmm. So in terms of people who want to, you know, halt the presses, they really don't have any legal thing to stand on. It's pretty much done. Other than, you know, if they negotiate, if you will, you know, trade off and things like that, which I don't agree about trading trading, you know, visitation time for extra money, you know. So I wouldn't advise that. But, you know, to the extent that there is a way to get a distance, is there is a way to maybe halt the presses and talk to your spouse. But that's, you know, an individual situation, you know, whether people can do that or not. I actually had a woman who basically said she was in the same kind of situation and her ex left. And she talked to him and said, is this what you want to have to your family? Do you want this to happen to your family? And this went on for a couple of years and they're finally back together. And this was in a state which had no fault. So he was finally, you know, willing to listen. And realize that the dissolution of his family was not something that he was prepared to undertake.
And the other interesting thing from the religious point of view, it seems like all the churches now make provisions for this, that even the Catholic Church goes, okay, you can send this thing, it goes to the Vatican, it gets blessed, takes you a while, and then you could remarry as a Catholic. So the way that I started this with you, that is kind of hypocrisy that we stand up and we make an oath in front of God when across the board we see that as a deal that you can break.
I think that's true. I think that's true, yeah.
Where are you going with the writing? Is this a book? I mean, is it a book to be written? The article, by the way, again, I bring it up to you. It was really great reading, but...
Thank you. Well, I am working on some longer projects. I won't go into specifics right now, but I am working on some longer projects. And this is something that I do want to continue to write about. And I have a few articles coming out, so...
Well, I appreciate you stopping by today. It was
very
interesting.
Much.
And... one of my favorite things in life is when somebody, you know, takes a belief and makes you relook at it. And it's an interesting point that you brought up.
Let me just say one thing, and thank you for that. That's really why I wrote this, is I wanted people to have a dialogue. And I think some of the comments that came back that were negative were people who didn't read through the whole article,
right,
who weren't really willing to dialogue about this. And I think that's unfortunate when you latch on to something and you take it out of context and you let your anger come up.
Sure.
Then you're not willing to dialogue about it, because I'd be willing to, you know, there are people who've written to me that have opposing viewpoints and I'm fabulous. Let's have a discussion about it, because I really think at bottom, that's what we really need to do.
Thanks so much for being in, Beverly.
Thank you.
I'll see you next time.
Bye.